Verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him, into all things, which is the head, even Christ. That is the will of God and the purpose of God for every life that's here tonight. God didn't save you and fill you with the Holy Ghost just for you to feel good. Amen. This kingdom is not built on enthusiasm or excitement. This kingdom is built on the eternal growth of the Christ of God personified within the members of the body. And if we fail to grow in Christ, then we have lost sight of the purpose of God. Paul said, I count it all but dung that I may win Christ. Did you hear that? That I may win Christ. I thank God for shouting services. I thank God for the times that we dance and we rejoice. I love it all. I just soon to be happy as sad. Amen. I just as soon rejoice as cry about it. I'm putting together a video for my funeral when I die. I'm not having any special speakers. It's going to be me on video. And I'm going to tell about all the wonderful things that have happened in my life and all the funny times that I've had. Why? Because I want people to rejoice. Don't cry over me departing. Of course, some won't. Some have the spirit that Paul gave to the church, and I say unto you again, rejoice. Hallelujah. But oh, I love laughter and I love rejoicing. Because I've had enough hard times and sad times in my life. I guess God has just imparted extra special grace and rejoicing in my heart. Even though I'm jolly and I'm humorous and I love life and I cut up a lot, I want you to know there is a very serious side of me. Which side, I don't know. But I am very serious about the Lord. I have purpose, I have intent, I have energy, I have will. And I intend to serve the Lord no matter what comes or goes. Fads can come and fads can fall. Kingdoms may rise and kingdoms may fall. But I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm not going to just come to the house of the Lord and be a member of a local body. I'm going to be involved in pursuing the Holy One of Israel. I want to win His conversation. I want to win His lifestyle. I want to win His personality. I want to win His character. And I want to win His reputation. I want to win. I want to be made like the Son of the living God. How many has got that purpose in your heart tonight? There are four things that constitute spiritual growth. And that is the word admit, submit, commit, and transmit. Dr. Veer of the 17th 100th century. He made this statement, obedience to God brings the fuller revelation of the purpose of God to us. Obedience to God brings the fuller revelation of God's purpose to us. I want you to know God's got a purpose, mom, dad, young person, for everyone that is here tonight. God's got a purpose for your life. I was privileged today to go to the nursing home. To see people who I have never been buddies with. I have never been closely related to them. I have had very few conversations down through the years with this elderly couple. But what that couple has done and what they have shown to my life has been a great influence over the past many years of my serving the Lord. And that is Brother and Sister Graham. Years ago when my dad spent literal months, months after months, in John Seeley Hospital, in M.D. Anderson Hospital, here in Houston and Galveston, Texas, we lived as paupers and beggars trying to make it, just trying to survive, trying to exist. We attended a church that one day, Brother Graham came to that church, and he and Sister Catherine ministered in the morning and the evening services. I was about 9 or 10 years of age. And as I was about that age, I've always had a good memory. So he came up to me. My mom was in the prayer line. Mother never let me set back when she went to the prayer line. I was an honorary kid. I looked for opportunity to leave the sanctuary. And she knew that. And oh, I got taken to the altar more times than I can tell you. And it wasn't because I had the spirit of willingness and want to. She took me there to keep me out of trouble. Hallelujah. She brought me to the altar. Brother Graham came by and he was praying for people. And he looked down right into my eyes. And I've always been one. I've never been afraid to look any man in the eye. I was a little kid and I looked up at him and looked him straight, square in the eyeballs. And he sort of leaned over and just pierced those big old eyes toward me, put his hand on my head and fluffed up my hair, and I hated that. I didn't like nobody touching my head. Nobody fluffing my hair. Mama had popped me on the head too much. I was tender-headed. But he fluffed my hair up and he looked at me. He said, "Son, God's going to use that mean streak for His glory." Hallelujah. I asked him today, I said, "Do you remember? Isn't it amazing that after the stroke and the sickness he's encountered?" He said, "I remember that. I remember rubbing your head and saying that to you." And he just went to shout, "Whoa, whoa, glory to God. Praise the Lord." I'm telling you, folk, we've been influenced by the love of God down through the years. Would you say amen? But the things that constitute growing in the Lord, we must admit what we have need of, not what somebody else has need of. And after we admit to the Lord what we have need of, we're not to stop there. You see, it's easy for us to confess what somebody else in the house of the Lord has need of, but it's better for us to confess the truth, and that is that we have need of a move of God in our lives as much as anybody in this congregation. I'm not passing the buck. I'm not pushing off the blame. And I'm not shoving all the evidence of reality off on somebody else and trying to skirt the problem. I'm telling you, the man that's in this pulpit tonight, he needs an encounter of God's conviction. He needs an encounter of God's presence. I need an encounter of God's glory. I need an encounter of God's passion. I remember when we used to be consumed with God. It wasn't ball games. It wasn't television. It wasn't work. It wasn't society. It wasn't fads. But we were consumed with God. And when a man is consumed with God, he's not in the business of trying to determine the problem among other people. But he's laying his life out before God, asking for the searchlight of the Holy Ghost to shine in his life, because he senses his depravity and he senses his dire need of God being manifested in his soul. I admit to you, I need God in 1991 like I've never needed God before. Secondly, after we admit what we have need of, we should never stop with admitting. We need to take it one step farther. You see, after a man confesses, he can confess and have no change. I said a man can confess his need and never have any change in his life. But if you'll take it one step farther, and if you'll submit yourselves therefore to God, then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see, in the writings of the book of Ephesians chapter 5, there's only one thing that Christ demanded of the church, and that was submission to Christ in all things. Hallelujah. He knows that we're one track minded. I said he knows that we're one track minded. That's not belittling us. That's not putting us down. He just knows that when we get on a trail, we're sort of like a cow. We just walk that trail until it's wore out and no grass will grow on the trail. There's life all around us, but the trail itself is dusty and dirty. My friend, I'm telling you, you need to be submitted to God. I need to be submitted to God in all things. Would you say amen? When a man is submitted to God, he allows the truth of God to grip his heart, that he may be governed by the plain truth. I said the plain truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. You see, there is an excusing of the flesh today. We have excused the flesh, and we've always got a word from the Lord. We've always got a specialized ministry. But who specializes today in submission to God? I said, who is specializing today in submission to God? It's time for the church, from the top to the bottom, to learn what it means to take confession one step farther, take it to the altar of submission, and allow the Word of God and the dictation of the Holy Ghost to govern our lives, not to be governed by the domain of carnality, not to be governed by the ritualistic ceremonialism of the flesh, but to be governed by thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a need. Come on, I said there is a need today for submission in the house of the Lord. It's not a matter of your feelings or my feelings. It's a matter of whether or not you're submitted to God and I'm submitted to God. When all people are submitted to God, the church doesn't divide. The church doesn't fall out with the ministry. The church doesn't fall out one with another. Come on, would you say amen with me tonight? We need a revival of confessing our need to God. We need a revival of coming to the altar and realizing, yes, the devil will flee from us, but he'll never flee until we're submitted unto God. It is a must. It is an absolute necessity for us to be in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. After we have confessed and submitted our lives unto the Lord, then we must move that submission into the area of commitment. There are two ways of committing. First of all, the wise man of old, he said, commit your ways unto the Lord, and he shall direct your path. I've heard people of yesteryear say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But my faith and filled full of the Holy Ghost and fire, you'll be absolutely surprised by what the old dog will learn. Hallelujah. Come on, I said you'll be surprised what the old dog will do. You get the old dog committed unto the Lord and his ways will change. I am not the same person I was 24 years ago when I encountered Jesus Christ. There have been changes. I said there have been changes. There has been spiritual growth. Hallelujah. This is what Paul's talking about, that we may speak the truth of God in love, that we may grow up into Him, into all things. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's more in Christ than what you and I have ever come to. And let's don't cut ourselves short. Come on, I said, let's don't cut ourselves short. Let's pursue God with all of our heart. Secondly, the wise man of old said, you commit your works unto the Lord, and He shall prosper you. I don't know about you, but I've had problems at times committing my ways to the Lord. I've had problems over the years of committing my works unto the Lord. It becomes my way. It becomes my work. Oh, go ahead and look at me with that bias, prejudice that I feel coming out of you tonight. Look at me all you want to. You've had a problem with your ways, and you've had a problem with your works also, and it's been exactly that. You see, men today stand in pulpits all around the world, and it's the missionary's work. It's the evangelist's work. It's the pastor's work. I'm telling you, my friend, it's not the work of any man. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Hallelujah. Therefore, it is an absolute necessity. We commit our ways unto the Lord, and we commit our works unto the Lord. Come on, would you shout amen with me? And when we do, it produces a chain which is forged, that it becomes a veritable anchor in the soul of mankind, in the times of temptation, in the times of trouble, in the times lambs of truth. A man will not stray from God, but he'll remain committed in his ways and in his works. He'll not put himself before God, and he'll not accommodate the flesh before God. Hallelujah. If his ways and his works are committed to the Lord. We need a fuller revelation of true spiritual growth in the church in 1991. Come on, I said we need a true revelation of spiritual growth in the church of Jesus Christ in 1991. And then after we have confessed, submitted to God, and committed our ways and works unto the Lord, then I believe the Lord calls us to rise up and transmit what he's done within our hearts and our lives. Hallelujah. He did not call us to be a pool. He called us to be a stream, to be a river. Would you say amen? He did not call you to hoard your riches or the glorious blessings which he has bestowed upon your life. He has raised you up to be a giver. I said he's raised you up to be a giver. Hallelujah. The Bible said, if you're going to obtain mercy, you have to show forth. That word show forth means to give with abundance. Hallelujah. If you're going to have mercy, you got to give mercy. You see, the principle of giving in Luke chapter 6 verse 38 doesn't only pertain to financial giving, but it is the giving of life itself. If you want to be treated kind, you got to give kindness. If you want to be loved, you got to love. If you want somebody to be just super precious in their spirit, you got to give some preciousness out of your heart and your life. Hallelujah. Whatever you give, you reap it. But if you never give anything, you'll never reap anything. Come on, I said, if you never give out, you'll never reap anything. Oh, you can take in and take in and take in without giving out. How many heard that? There's a river by the name of Jordan that flows to two different seas. It flows to that Dead Sea. That Dead Sea takes in from the river of Jordan, but never gives out. I said it never gives out. How many times do we come to the house of the Lord and we never bring anybody with us? We never call anybody and see whether or not they have a need that we need to pray with them about, or go by and, you know, pick them up and bring them to the house of the Lord. Go by and take care of their needs, you know. You see, the Lord calls us to be givers. Hallelujah. Not just to take it in as a pool. All pools that take in become stagnant. They become nothing but a stinking, dead, dried up, useless, worth nothing when we only take in and never give out. There is a composite of minerals in the Dead Sea that they say is worth literal millions of dollars, but nobody will ever be blessed by the composite of that Dead Sea because that sea never gives out. But you move about 50 to 65 miles northward up to the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee, it takes in from the same river, the river of Jordan, and the water level never goes down in that sea because it gives out constantly and it takes in. That's the way that God has ordained our lives. We take in a blessing on Sunday morning, we give it away during the week. We come on Wednesday night, we receive blessings from God. Come Thursday, we're giving away what God's done for us. Hallelujah. He's not called us to be a pool. He's called us to be a channel. Hallelujah. He's called us to transmit the blessings of the Lord, which maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to them. God, help us to give what he's done for us. Would you say amen? Years ago, I was studying through the Word of God, and I ran across a verse of Scripture that puzzled me. And it's verse number 30. And it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." That word grieve got a hold of my heart. So I began to study concerning the word grieve. You know what I found out? That the word grieve is a love word. You cannot grieve someone that doesn't love you. You can aggravate them, you can frustrate them, you can agitate them, you can cause them discomfort, you can cause them hurt, you can cause them pain, but you cannot grieve them. Love has to be involved before grief is transacted. And this is a love word. and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Mother, dad, young person, and kiddo, you and I together cannot comprehend or imagine how much the Holy Ghost of God loves us here tonight. But how in the world can we keep from grieving Him if we don't even know who He is? Oh, I want to come to a church where they shout, they dance, they talk in tongues, where they rejoice in the Lord. Yes, I like a church that's lively. I'd much rather attend a lively church than a dead church. Come on, I said I'd much rather attend a lively church than a dead church. But you see, we have a guilt problem today. We have a problem in the church, the Pentecostal church today. And that is the very thing that men and women, boys and girls have need of. They'll come to a church that supplies it and furnishes that in the name of the Lord and with the help of God. But they will not move in and possess it. Are you here tonight? I said, are you here tonight? It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Who is the Holy Ghost? In the writings of John chapter 14 and verse number 17, John declares unto us that the Holy Ghost of God, He is the Spirit of truth. So anything false, deceitful, and hypocritical, it grieves Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 13, He is the Spirit of faith. So doubt, unbelief, distrust, and worry, and anxiety, it grieves Him. Did you hear me tonight? I said He is the Spirit of truth. Anything that is false, anything deceitful, anything hypocritical, it grieves Him. He is the Spirit of faith. So anything that savors of doubt and unbelief and distrust and worry and anxiety, it grieves Him. God, help us to realize that in our generation, the Holy Ghost has been grieved. And Paul said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That's not a request. That is a commandment. I said it is an issued commandment. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. He is the Spirit of grace. Anything hard and bitter and ungracious, unthankful, unforgiving, and unloving, it grieves Him. Did you hear me? Anytime there is a broken relationship that continues on, that has not been made right in the house of the Lord, you're grieving even the Holy Ghost of God. Some years ago, there was a tragedy that took place in the Taylor family. And over this tragedy, my dad was sent to the penitentiary. And because of that, because of the lives of my mother's sister and her own father, they sent my dad to Huntsville Penitentiary. And he spent time in the pen because his own father-in-law and his own sister-in-law lied against him on the witness stand. I'm telling you, sometimes the judicial system of America is far from being justice. But yet and still, there was a Christian in the Taylor home. I said there was a Christian in the Taylor home. My dad only spent 19 and a half months in the penitentiary and then he was released. But during this time, there was suffering and heartache and pain and problems. There was difficulty beyond comprehension. That is what started the deterioration of my dad's health, worth several hundred thousands of dollars. Before he went into that penitentiary, he came out, he had no will to live. He had no will to work. He had no will to exist. He lost all of his financial empire. He lost his health. And he almost lost his entire life just over suffering the agony of spending time in that penitentiary. My mother, who was a Christian of the family and in the family, she had hatred in her heart for her own daddy and for her own sister. And I'll never forget, there was an evangelist that came through preaching from Oklahoma. And he preached about bearing the hatchet and leaving the handle sticking up. And I leaned over to my mother and I said, Mother, you've carried that hate long enough. You need to get it out of your heart. You're grieving God with that hate you have for your daddy and you have for your sister. I watched my own mother kneel at the altar that day, and at 2:15 in the afternoon, she got up from that altar, and for the first time in years, she went and knocked on the door of her drunken sister, walked into that house and asked her forgiveness. It should have been the sister asking forgiveness, but my mother went and asked forgiveness because of the moving of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, my friend, nothing's too hard to be overcome. I said, nothing you encounter is too hard to overcome. After we left my sister's home, she said, take me to Dad's home. We went to her dad's home. She walked in. You talk about a reunion. Her dad said, sis, I was wrong. I've caused you much sorrow, much heartache. Would you forgive me? She said, Dad, I've come to ask you to forgive me for hating you. Oh, yes, when put on the show, lifting hands doesn't always tell. Shouting and dancing doesn't always tell about what's going on in the heart and in the mind. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, so often the church has nothing more than a surface relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you wonder why men and women never advance in God. You wonder why they never win Christ, the likeness of the Lord, within their life. It's because they've run up against a stump. They're not willing to dig around. They're not willing to work with. They're not willing to confront. They're not willing to deal with it. But my friend, your relationship with the Lord will never go any farther than the cause of the relationship being stagnated. We must deal with those inner recesses that create problems in our lives and in relationships. Would you say amen? I watched my mother break and yield as the Spirit of grace moved in her heart and life. I saw a major victory in my mother's life that I had never encountered in all the days of my living. You see, folk, when you begin to realize who He is and what you're doing grieves Him, it'll make you belly up and shape up. Come on, I said it'll make you belly up and shape up. Well, I'll just talk any way I want to. No, let's don't do that, because unholy conversation grieves Him. I said unholy conversation grieves Him. You mean we can't cut up and joke? No, sir, I didn't say that at all. I said I believe the Lord's into life. I believe He's into laughter. I believe He's into fun. You'll never make me believe that Jesus as a boy didn't skip rocks across the water. You'll never make me believe that He didn't play a little chase with His first cousin John. No, sir. I believe there was some chasing going on. I believe He's trying to chase John down and get him full of God. Amen. Oh, that's paraphrased, you know, but don't worry about my paraphrase. Oh, but sometimes we picture everything as just being so-so and perfect. But I'm telling you, God looks on the heart, not the outward appearance. Isaiah wrote in chapter 29, and He declared unto us in verse number 13, I believe it is. He said, for as much as this people, they draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but their heart is removed far from me. I've had people to say at times throughout the years I preach, oh, you stepped on my toes tonight. My friend, I haven't aimed at your toes. I'm aiming at your heart. Hallelujah. I've had some radical changes in my heart, and I want you to know tonight, I appreciate it. I thank God for it. Hallelujah. I would not want to be what I was 10 years ago. Hallelujah. I appreciate the changes that have come in my life. I appreciate the maturing and the growth that has taken place for the glory of God. Would you shout amen with me? Oh, changes come hard. I said changes come hard. But folk, I'm telling you, if we're going to make heaven, salvation is free, but heaven doesn't come cheap. I said salvation is free, but heaven doesn't come cheap. There's a price to be paid to make heaven our home. Hallelujah. And the way we make heaven our home is by not grieving the Holy Spirit of God, who has sealed us unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. In the writings of Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, He is the Spirit of holiness. So anything that savors of uncleanness, that which is defiling or degrading, it grieves Him. I never could stand the spirit of cut down. When I was a boy in school, I wasn't saved. They'd run up to me and they'd use this phrase, yo mama. And when they'd say yo mama, I knew they weren't there for good times. And I'd hit them in the mouth, poke them in the nose. I'd kick them in the stomach. I'd kick them in the shin. I'd hit them and kick them and bite them. I'd hit them with boards, batons, bricks. It didn't matter to me. Anything land flying around. I'd lay with them. I'd get on them and just beat the fool out of them and give them everything I had. I never could stand that spirit of degrading. And you see, I've learned something after coming out of the world and being saved. It's not only the world that gets a hold of degrading. It happens in the church. We have the preacher for supper. We have the preacher for lunch. We have the deacon board for supper and lunch. We have a brother or sister that didn't smile like they ought to for lunch. I'm telling you, that grieves the Holy Ghost of God. Let me tell you, I used to raise some dogs, and sometimes the dogs would bat their own master. And it's not because they didn't love the master. It's because they had a hurt in their body. Amen. God help us to be careful about how we respond to the hurts that people have. Instead of cutting them off and isolating them and saying, oh, they hurt my feelings. Let's get beyond our feelings. I said, let's get beyond the chip on our shoulder and our feelings and realize there are some real needs in their heart, or they would not be acting the way they're acting. Come on, are you here tonight, church? I wrestled with God this morning in the early hours. Already had a message planned, laid out, ready to preach, shared with it, with Brother Allard what I was preaching tonight. Messed up, shouldn't have done it. Holy Ghost had a different direction. And I want you to know He's on target tonight. I said He's on target tonight. I've learned something about the Spirit of God. He's always right. I said He's always right. I hardly ever am, but He always is. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. So ignorance and conceit and arrogance and folly, it grieves Him. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7, He is the Spirit of power and love and discipline. So barrenness and fruitlessness and disorderly conduct, confusion and uncontrolled lifestyle, it grieves Him. I said it grieves Him. Why does it grieve Him? Because of who He is. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2. He is the Spirit of life. So anything that savors of indifference and lukewarmness, spiritual dullness and spiritual deadness, it grieves Him. Hallelujah. God help us to realize that we're not offending the preacher. We're not offending the movement. We're offending the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You can get by with offending the preacher. And you can get by grieving. I said grieving a loved one. My friend, if we continue to grieve the Holy Ghost and the seal is broken, our redemption is over. I said, our redemption is over. I said, our redemption is over if our grief ever breaks that seal. I say to you tonight in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 14, He is the Spirit of glory. So anything that's worldly and earthly and carnal and fleshly, it grieves Him. And tonight in the writings of James chapter 1 verse 23 through 25... the Word of God declares that it is a mirror to reveal. We become a hearer of the Word. He said a hearer of the Word is like a man who beholds his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, and then he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. It's happened in church, Pastor, over and over. Why, you've pastored here for many, many years. It's happened. People come down, it looks like they're going to change. They'll pray through, seemingly touch God. Yes, they made a confession and almost made a submission, but they never moved into a commitment or a transmission. They just want to come and get rid of the guilt of conviction. I'm telling you tonight, God never convicts a man to destroy him. God convicts us that we might be reconciled, restored, renewed, and refreshed, and placed in the body and placed in the kingdom to bring glory not to the assemblies of God, but to bring glory by matured growth to the Christ who is coming for her church and a bride who hath made herself ready. Hallelujah to God. I said to mature us, to bring us to the place that when Christ comes in the clouds of glory, the all is filled the lamp and the wick is trimmed and burning, and we're ready for His coming. God help us tonight not to grieve the Holy Ghost that has sealed us for the day of redemption. Hallelujah. So I want to close tonight. Every need of man is met in and through the person's desire for spiritual growth. I said every need we have is met in and through our spiritual desire for God. I'm telling you, there's been some glorious altar services in this church. You see, I don't come to preach good or to sing good. That's not my intent. That's not my purpose. It doesn't bother me whether you walk out and say I preach good or I don't preach good. I haven't come here to be categorized as a good preacher, a good singer, a bad preacher, a bad singer. I've come to seek God and to touch the heart of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost touch my heart, and have altar services that have changed people, cause them to confess their needs, submit their lives to God, commit their ways and works to the Lord, and then walk out of this building and begin to transmit that which is not fleshly or earthly or carnal, but begin to transmit the life of the resurrected Son of the living God, hallelujah, that can change all humanity. No wonder Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We've lifted up personalities of man. We've lifted up entertainment. We've lifted up ingenuity and intellectualism. But my friend, it hasn't availed us anything. It's brought disillusionment. It's brought sorrow and heartache and grief and pain. It's brought disturbance. It's brought division. We need Jesus to be lifted up. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I'd come to that revival if I liked that preacher. I'd go to that church if I liked that pastor. I'm telling you, it's not that evangelist or pastor that's your problem. You got a problem in your heart of not knowing how to yield or grow in God. I said, you got a problem in your heart of not knowing how to yield or grow in God. Come on, would you say amen? Spiritual growth will teach an individual in that and whatsoever state a man is to be there with content. For godliness with contentment is great gain. Would you say amen? I'm telling you here, mom, dad, young person, the Lord's coming. Brother Dwayne, come on and help me. I said, the Lord's coming. And there is no time. I said, this is no time to be out of step with the Holy Ghost. No, sir, we need to be in tune with the Spirit of life. Hallelujah. It's no time for worldly flirtations and spiritual adulteries to be taking place. This is the time to seek God with all of our heart and to be closer to the Lord than we've ever been in all of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hate to admit it, but it's the truth. Most of the time, we don't have revivals. We just have a little rattling. I said a little rattling. A rattle here and a rattle there. My God, the Holy Ghost is grieved. I said He's grieved. Oh, we've done a good job. We've done a good job. We've bought property. Oh, yeah, we've built a beautiful church. We've put a lot of pews in it and a family life center. We've done a good job. Yeah. 504,000 people died and went out into eternity without God in the state of Texas alone last year. How many of those people passed through the altars of Greensboro Assembly? I said, how many passed through the altars of Greensboro? Just about the time I get pumped up in some good revival God's privileged me to be in, I begin to think about the thousands that have not witnessed to. Hundreds and hundreds of people I've met and didn't share the gospel with. I think, dear God, we lose sight of why we're here. We lose sight of why we've been saved. He didn't save me just to feel good. I'm telling you, and you hear this, He didn't save me just to go to heaven. He saved me to grow up into Him and know all things. You see, mom, dad, young person, kiddos, listen to me. Every one of you that's here tonight, all of us. This world has need what we have. I said, this world has need of what we have. And if God allows us to live another day, you mature in the Lord one day, Father, you'll meet somebody that has a need of that one day maturity. You mature over a month in the Lord, you'll meet somebody that'll use up that month's supply of maturing in the Lord. I encounter situations all the time that says to me, you don't know enough. You're not strong enough. You're not deep enough in God. You're not committed enough. You're not dedicated enough. I said, I meet situations all the time that make me back up and look at myself and say, my God, help me not to waste time, valuable time. Help me to mature and grow up into Christ, into all things. I want to close with this tonight. My prayer is this. You can make it a prayer for your life. But I wrote this down this afternoon as the Holy Ghost dealt with me. God, don't allow anything false, deceitful, hypocritical to keep me from being ready when you come. God, deliver me from doubt and unbelief, distrust, worry, and anxiety. Hardness of spirit, bitterness of soul, ungracious, unthankful, unforgiven, and unleavened ways. God, deliver me from all uncleanness, all that which defiles and degrades. Deliver me, Lord, from ignorance, conceit, arrogance, folly, and barrenness. Deliver me, Lord, from fruitlessness, disorderly conduct, confusion, and uncontrollable living. Give me victory, O God. Give me victory over indifference, lukewarmness, spiritual dullness, and deadness. Why do I want to be delivered? Because He's coming. I said He's coming. He is coming. And this is no time for us to be bound up in bondage with anything that'll keep us from making it. I'd rather ask forgiveness 24 hours around the clock than miss the translation of the church. Amen. Do you feel that way tonight? The Holy Ghost spoke to me to say this. The game's over. The game is over. He's grieved with the worldly activity and the earthly involvement of His church. He's grieved. Come out! Come out! Come out! And separate yourself unto the gospel of God again. It's closing night. I wanted to share the heartbeat of the Holy Ghost. This might not be the best message to close a meeting with as far as the year is concerned. But I'm telling you tonight, church, I heard from God and I've shared what I've heard. He's grieved. I said He is grieved. And He's grieved because He loves you and He loves me. I don't want to grieve Him. I want to please Him. Nobody has ever done for me what the Lord's done. I don't want to grieve Him. I want to please Him.